It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community.
Yay! It's great to be back.
Yes. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Queered Up Souls.
It feels good to be back and to be talking to you again, Mary.
It definitely feels good. For those of you that don't know, because of our schedule, sometimes we find that we have to pre-record. And so sometimes there'll be like maybe a couple of weeks before we are able to record again. But it just feels really good to be back.
It really does. So what's your joy for this season, Mary?
I'll be honest, my joy for this season, and I know we're going to dive into this a little deeper later, but I woke up this week and Joe Biden had tweeted that Brittany Griner was coming back. I kid you not. Mm-hmm. I was so excited that I immediately just got out of bed and went to the gym. That news was just that exciting for me, because I think there's an episode earlier where we, you know, talked about, I'm very passionate about women's sports, and there's a reason for that too. But just imagining her serving a 9-year sentence, I could not fathom that. I could not fathom what it was going to do to her mental health, but also to her wife and her family. So for me, her release brought me so much joy this past week. What about you, Jenny? What was your joy this past week?
Well, a lot of joys just this past week, but I think we'll dive into that. But my biggest joy for this season was being in Hawaii with my mom.
Woo.
And yeah, it was, I usually go visit her during like December, like the holidays at the end of December, but I'll be in a wedding at the end of the month. So I went to go visit her during the holiday in November. So that was really great. And I got to visit a couple of other islands and meet up with some friends. And it was so powerful because we were there the same time that Mauna Loa erupted, and she hadn't erupted in 38 years.
Amazing.
So it was incredible just to be on the Big Island with that energy. We were already planning to be there, so it was just like perfect timing that we were already there. We got to go visit the volcanoes and Pele, which is the goddess of fire. And we all know that she just wants her voice heard and heard loudly. So she's making it known that she's here. And I thought that was really beautiful to like learn more about Mauna Loa and like just to be on the island, because it was so healing and so like lush with like greenery. And yeah, I don't know. That was a huge joy for me, just being on the islands.
That's really incredible. I just have a curious question about you being able to witness that historical event. Was there smoke debris in the air?
No, I didn't see a lot of ash. I know that sometimes when there is an eruption, there's a lot of ash in the air, but I didn't see much of it when I was there. I was there, I think, 2 days after. I was supposed to be there the day after, but they canceled my flight. So I switched it and I came 2 days after the eruption. So when I was there, the air wasn't ashy at all. We weren't too close either.
Oh, okay.
We were in Volcanoes National Park. We did a night hike, which was incredible, and got to see Kilauea, which is the most active volcano. And then we got to see Mauna Loa, which is the largest volcano in the world.
Wow.
And I think I had just found that out, so thought that was pretty incredible.
Wow, and they believe that, did you say Pele is the goddess of fire?
Yeah.
I honestly love listening to people's, how would I classify that? Is that a culture or is that their belief system. It's just fascinating for me learning about the ways of people that belong to a certain land, and you like sharing that, and like their goddess of fire, and then the volcano. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it was really powerful. Yeah, so that was my joy, and obviously, you know, spending time with my mom.
Oh yeah, moms are the best. Give your mom a hug once you hear this podcast.
Yes. So we did mention like some great news. I know Mary mentioned her joy, but Mary, you want to give us an update on what has been going on this week? Because we had some huge news.
I'll say this again. The release of Brittany Griner was really big. Mm-hmm. It is a big win for Black women. It is a big win for the WNBA. It is a big win for Sherelle Griner, who is Brittany Griner's wife. But it is also a big win for the US and the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, following her story, it was quite painful. I do remember us, you know, talking through that episode. It was quite painful to think about the fact that she was sentenced to 9 years for just having... wasn't even a violent crime. It's, you know, just carrying, mm-hmm. was it some kind of, or CBD or something, or THC something, a pain anyway.
Yeah.
And I remember us having a conversation and saying if this had been like, let's say it had been someone like LeBron James or Tom Brady, they would have been released within a month. I don't mm-hmm. think it would take long. But regardless of how long this took, it brought me such relief. It brought me, because she's young, you know, and I was like just thinking 9 years of her life in jail, and she served the U.S. and she served on winning teams that actually brought back gold to the U.S. So she's actually served her country. It might not be like, you know, in the same, it might not be in the same category as, let's say, someone who's a Marine or someone who serves in the Navy or, you know, the army, but she did bring back something for the US. And so her win, very incredible. And I think as we were talking before, Jenny, you did talk about some stuff you'd been reading. You want to talk a little bit about it, like some of the backlash or people's opinions?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too much into it because I don't want to give them the power or them the voice. But yeah, just hearing a lot of opinions from men on my social media about the trade with the arms dealer. And so I was just asking Mary like what her thoughts were on that, because obviously she is a Black queer woman. She is gonna get backlash, and we don't want to give that power to those who are giving the backlash. But I really liked what you said about not talking about that, but instead looking at the fight for Brittany Griner from her wife.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. If you want to touch on that.
Yeah. Like, if you really think about it, the person that put up a non-stop fight, sleepless nights, I imagine, I wasn't there, but I imagine, was a Black woman. This Black woman is Brittany Griner's wife, Sherelle. She just graduated, you know, with a law degree. I'm sure she was using all her resources and her knowledge to build a community of people to fight for Brittany Griner. I think she was knocking on doors. She put up an endless fight. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And looking at the history of, I'm just going to look at the history of the US, but I know if we look at the, you know, world at large, some of the things that bring a lot of change are carried on the back of women. We all know that.
Yeah.
But if just looking at the history of the US, some of the big wins for the US have been because a Black woman fought tirelessly. I'll just give an example of, what's the name of the lady that just lost the vote, but she fought so hard to make sure that voters Stacey Abrams worked so hard to make sure that people were able to vote. P- people that probably didn't think they would ever have an opportunity to vote. She worked so hard. That was a black woman. She worked tirelessly to create a change. And I think she turned, okay, because of her effort, of course not alone, but because of her effort and those people that worked with her and people she was able to mobilize, they were able to turn a whole seat because of, you know, her fight. You know, I've had conversations about, you know, women carrying, the black women carrying their vote. But I think in this particular context, I really feel like Cheryl Greiner gave it her very best. And we're seeing what we're seeing today because she did not give up. And that's how I would just like to celebrate the release of Brittany Griner. She never did give up.
And then something else that happened this day.
Woo! Okay. Listen. I some of you might not be astrology enthusiasts, but I am, and I know Jenny is. So this week we had like our last full moon of the year, the Gemini full moon. I didn't even realize how potent it was.
Shout out to my fellow Geminis.
Let's go. I didn't realize how potent it was going to be until I woke up and, you know, Joe Biden had posted the release of like Brittany Griner was coming home, but also the Respect for Marriage Act was, you know, it passed the Senate, passed the House, and it's on its way to the president's desk to be signed into law. And for those of you, I'm not going to go into deep details, but basically what this does is marriage equality is on its way to becoming law. And this marriage equality means that it protects marriage, or marriage is recognized in all states for same-sex marriage or interracial marriages. And some of you are thinking interracial marriage, but yeah, there are probably some. It was under fire, you know, after the Roe v. Wade, a lot of these things were under fire. And so just the fact that the Respect for Marriage Act has passed the House and it's on its way to be turned into law is a huge win. It's a big win, and I'm not taking this lightly. And those two things, to me, they were the culmination of the Gemini full moon. But that's that's for me. But you know, outside the full moon, they're really big wins for the LGBT community.
They're huge wins.
Yeah.
100%. Really huge wins. So we were catching up before recording this because it had been a while since Mary and I had talked. So we had a lot of updates, and something that I had brought up to her was astrocartography, because when I was on the Big Island, my friend Jordan and I and another friend got our readings for astrocartography, and I had never done that before. And based on your birth chart, it shows you places where, or locations where you will thrive in or will be fulfilled in. And I learned a lot. And so I was telling Mary about it, and I was saying, wow, I didn't realize that, you know, maybe California isn't the place for me to thrive the most, or where I am most powerful in, as much as a couple of other locations. But I think you make a really good point, Mary, because she asked whether that was like practical. Like, she was asking me personally, well, you know, one of the locations for me was on the East Coast, like New York. Mm-hmm. And she was saying, is that practical for you? I was like, you know what? I don't think so, because my communities are here.
Right.
I have built a lot here, and not to say that I could like up and leave and start a new life and really like thrive and be in my power in New York. I think being in my power with what I've built so far is also, and should also be considered and acknowledged too.
Right. Yeah. And you know, Jenny's because I asked her which were the, I think you mentioned the East Coast, but there's some other place you mentioned.
Yeah, there was Morocco, Australia. I think, like, I gotta look again, but those are some of the other places.
Right, yeah. So it just made me think, because I have, I've encountered astrocartography before. I just have never really been able to figure out how it works. I did try, you know, with the little astrology that I have to figure out which would be the best area for me. But when, you know, Jenny was talking about it, and I, you know, I just reflected just on my 2022 year, just this year, 2022, which is winding down soon. And I was just thinking of how grateful I am that I live in California. And it's not easy. I'm an immigrant, and we can tell you all kinds of hoops that we have to jump through, you know, by virtue of the fact that you're an immigrant. But I was just reflecting on how precious living in California is to me, how grateful I am that of all the states in the U.S., I ended up in California. And even as I've gone through this journey of living authentically as myself, and living in California where, you know, same-sex marriage is recognized, where I can explore who I am fully without shame, where I can go out and be in LGBT communities or immigrant communities or whatever community it is, where I've had an opportunity to meet people like Jenny, who at this point in my life I am co-hosting a podcast with her. It's just so precious to me to, like, be able to experience some of these things. And I do remember mentioning to her, so there's queer, you know, queer people do get together even in countries where it's illegal. And I do have a friend that lives, I'm not going to mention that country, but I do have a friend that lives in a country where being gay is illegal and you end up in jail. But she was calling me, she called me this morning to tell me that she was at a queer Christmas party, and it felt like she was being healed just by the fact that she was hanging out with people who were just queer, just as she was. And so I asked her, so how being gay as an illegal thing in that country, how do you guys get together? And she was telling me, well, there's like this whole process. You have to be part of the community. You have to be known. You have to be trusted. Then you receive a text message telling you the date and the time, but no location. And then like 1 hour before, you receive a message that has the ability to disappear with the location. And if you lose the location, they're not going to send it to you again. And I was like, wow, that's, you know, that is a lot to navigate. Mm-hmm. just to have community. And it just made me, I'm thankful to be in California. It's not easy. You know, it's an expensive state, but having community and having the liberty to explore who I am, it's just precious. So astrocartography is beautiful, but maybe sometimes the systems we have in place might not let us go to those places that maybe we might thrive.
But it was beautiful to learn about and then to talk to you about it, you know. And that is so wild what they have to go through to have just one party, you know, to be with your community, like you said.
Very grateful. And even just like you mentioning, you know, the communities and the friendships that you've built here. They do matter.
Matter a lot. Every single individual in my life has helped shape the person that I am today. So really grateful, and grateful for more learnings. And speaking of that, I know we're kind of like reflecting on the year and thinking, with this Gemini full moon, so many things are going on. I asked Mary what else is going on in astrology, because we haven't had an update from Mary in a long time. And I'm just curious to hear, you know, what's going on in the cosmos and how is that manifesting in our lives, in our communities, in our world. If you can, you know, just give us a quick little update.
First, I have to really emphasize, I am not an astrologer. I have not studied astrology long enough to be an astrologer, but I'm an astrology enthusiast. Like, it fascinates me so much. I don't really understand how it works, but it's the language of the cosmos. And if you take time to be interested in it, it will speak to you. And yeah, that's the one thing that fascinates me about astrology. And for me, astrology feeds into my spiritual practice. I 100% believe that there's a divine being out there, and astrology is just my tool of having reverence and understanding the cosmos. It's very fascinating. It's really fascinating.
And that's the important part, is to see it as a tool. You know, I think that's how we utilize it as a tool, as we do other tools like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs, or just a lot of tools that human design, so many of them. Right. So this is just one tool.
Right. So I'm not an astrologer. I really need to emphasize that. But I follow a lot of astrologers that specialize in mundane astrology and predictions on a mundane level. Basically, these are just astrologers that study the patterns of the world, especially the generation, like the world as a globe, like the lives of people. And they're able to make predictions like, oh, this is what's going to come up. This is what's coming up over the next 10 years. This is what's coming up this year, things like that. It's fascinating for me. The reason it's fascinating is because I'm always waiting for them to get it wrong, but they usually do get it right. And so part of what I've been following since 2021 are astrologers who are talking about the ingress of Pluto into Aquarius. Mm-hmm. Now let me just break it down so it's really, really simple. So there are some planets in astrology that we call personal planets. And I think you've heard Jenny and I say, oh, I'm a Gemini sun, or I'm a Sagittarius sun. That's a personal planet. So the sun is personal, the moon is personal, Venus is personal, Mars is personal. And then they're what we call the social planets. So this is how, like, you're relating either with your age mates or, you know, basically people around you. So that's what we call Jupiter and Saturn. These are your social planets. But then there's what we call the generational planets. And this, I think, is what the astrologers use to sort of like predict trends that are coming on, or, you know, things that come on massive scale, like wars or new invasions or huge diseases or things like that. So the generational planets really are Uranus, Pluto, and Neptune. And so they use these cycles to sort of tell us what's coming on, and they use like what happened in the past and things like that. So what has been fascinating me a lot is some of the predictions. So the first one that I had was, we're going to be seeing a lot more people of color, Black people, whatever, getting into positions of leadership. And we started seeing this, actually. We started seeing this all through 2021. And we're going to see more of it over the next 20 years, because Pluto is going to be in Aquarius for 20 years. We saw presidents all over the world. The other thing that was predicted was there's going to be more women dating women. Well, you can see Jenny and I are dating women, but no, this is really outside us. But I think I've been trying to watch and listen, and I've seen more and more people coming out, more women being open to the idea of exploring their identities. Very fascinating to me. And we're also seeing this on a massive scale. We're seeing musicians, I don't know who, politicians. We're seeing a lot of this. And the thing about generation is it comes whether you want it to come or not. And I think sometimes we fight. We will fight. No, I want my old life back. But when the wave comes, when the language of the cosmos speaks, that's what's coming up. There's only so little you can do to fight it. Other things that were that have been predicted are coming. We can see a little bit of them. We're still going to see a bit more of them is the advancement of technology, the advancement of AI. And this is so mind-blowing. The first time that Pluto is going to dip into Aquarius is going to be next March. It will dip into Aquarius. And usually we can see a sneak peek into what the next 20 years are. And so right now, the way AI seems to be like blowing up is so mind-blowing. The way, you know, I don't know if some of you have had an opportunity to use Chat GPT, but the stuff that you can do with Chat, like this past Friday, I was in there. I was like, okay, can you give me a lesson plan to teach middle schoolers? Can you give me a three-part lesson plan to teach middle schoolers? And I got a three-part lesson plan. Mind-blowing. Like, wow. In seconds. So that's...
Oh, and I think I was reading something the other day about how AI can be used to write college exams now.
Right. And so part of what was happening at my workplace was, now I think there's conversation into coming up with a policy, so we have to have that locked on the students' laptops. And this is not going to go away. It's going to advance more. There's going to be advancement in science, in medicine. We're going to see plastic surgery at the highest level that you can imagine. And this can really be good, because for me, there's things I see, like, if we can have advance, I've been seeing advancements about like you've heard of the Neuralink. So maybe blind people can be able to communicate. Like, we're going to see these sorts of things. People being able to walk and not using the wheelchairs with wheels, but like exoskeleton wheelchairs where you're actually standing upright.
Yeah.
So technology is going to go high. Community.
And sorry, just one thing about the technology or AI. If you have not seen already, like a lot of folks using the Lenza app, you know, it seems very cool, but I think I've been hearing a lot from my artist friends that the technology is just studying artists and stealing that work to put out like their work through this algorithm or technology. So, you know, there are downsides to it. And I know you'll get into that too, Mary. But like, yeah, AI, I'm always very fascinated by like advancement in technology and science. But obviously, there are so many downsides to it that we should be also aware of.
Yeah, that's 100% a great point. I think for every great thing that we have, we have to be careful. Like, for example, social media, a great tool. An extremely great tool. But it's also the age where nudes could bring down your career. Like, I don't know, you post something and it's on the internet forever. You can never, you know, take it away. And so, yeah, so some of the other predictions include community becoming a big thing. So communities are going to become exclusive. They're going to become the everyday thing, and you will need to belong to it. Not that you will need to, but we're going to see a lot more of these. Relationships are going to change. I think right now we have like the man-woman nuclear sort of relationships, but I think we're going to have an inclusion of different other kinds of relationships. We're going to see friends coming together to raise children. We're going to see a lot more. So what has already started happening is like unionizing of different companies. Like, what happened over the past few years is there's been a lot of exploitation of the working class. Yeah. And so what we're seeing right now is the working class trying to take back its power. like getting into numbers, unionizing, mm-hmm. and taking back their power. We're going to see a lot more of that. There is one prediction that I am waiting for, and I hope it comes to pass, and that's the four-day work week. That's supposed to be one of the predictions that's supposed to happen over the next 20 years. And that one I am waiting with all my with all my heart. But even with all these advancements, like, for example, we are not ready. We do not have structures, ethical systems and policies in place to handle some of these massive technological advancement. Like just now, Jenny talked about like the potential of cheating at college, but it's not even just at college.
Right.
I work in a K through 8 school, and these kids have been having this AI platform. It's by, I think, Elon Musk and whoever else is part of that on their laptops. You can practically, you know, you can tell it, write for me an essay that an 8-year-old child can write about the dangers of COVID. And it will do that using the appropriate language. And then you could ask it to write for you an essay talking to specialists, COVID specialists, and it will do that. So there's that danger of having this much power with no policies in place, no ethical policies in place. And so there's going to be a danger of like hacking on a massive scale. Like, I don't know if some of you follow deepfakes. Jenny, have you heard of deepfakes?
Yeah,
that's getting better. Even like with this AI technology, yeah. someone could plant you saying something you didn't even say.
And boom, I know, that is so wild.
It's so wild, but it's also exciting. But yeah, so I love to follow mundane astrology and the generational planets again, which are Pluto. Pluto right now is in Capricorn. Uranus right now is in Taurus, and Neptune right now is in Pisces. And I think in 2026, all these generational planets will have finally switched signs, moved into the next sign. So a lot of maybe what's confusing us right now, what's not looking clear, by 2026, we'll have a clearer picture of what the new, I don't know, what's the word? Should I say new world order? No, it's not order, but like...
Well, it's like... The next movement.
Yeah, the next movement. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have a clear idea. But that's just me. You don't have to believe in astrology, but I am very fascinated by this prediction. So I kind of follow them.
I love hearing that. I learn so much from you every time you talk about that. And this happens organically too. Like, before we recorded this, we had a whole conversation. And we were just like, we should have recorded this initial conversation. So we tried to redo that. Hopefully we got all the points we wanted to mention. But yeah, no, thank you for sharing that, Mary. I think that's exciting for the most part. But I think there are a lot of things that we just need to be aware of more. And I think you were saying how with the community aspect,
yeah, what could a danger that could possibly come with that is the individual cease to matter, and it will be the voice of the community over the voice of an individual, and you could be the minority, and
yeah, you know,
that could be a danger. But these are all just predictions, and we can still see some of these things happening, but it's fascinating to.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
also, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I know that we're going into a season of celebrations all over the world, different kinds of celebrations. Some bring people joy, and some it's a time where it brings up either trauma or whatever.
Grief.
Mm-hmm. But Jenny and I send you so much love regardless mm-hmm. of what you'll be experiencing.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely want to hold space for those who maybe don't have, you know, community or family or loved ones around them during this time that's coming up. So yeah, like Mary said, we love you so much.
So much.
And we do have an update and that we wanted to give everyone. Well, first of all, thank you for all of the love and support for our rest episode.
Thank you.
We learned a lot from that episode, and you all learned a lot from that episode. And it feels good to hear any feedback from anyone. So we just appreciate you all giving us love on that episode, and obviously on all of the other episodes too. But I think we just received a lot of positive feedback on that one, which is awesome. And so we're going to take our own advice.
Right. Yes, we are.
Be taking a break.
Yeah, we're taking a break. What would this be, Jenny? Would this be a creative break?
Yeah.
Yeah, this it would be a
Yeah, in relation right? to our Queerly podcast, I think it is a creative break.
It is a creative. Yeah, so we're taking our creative break, and we will see you in February.
Yeah. So we're going to enjoy the holidays with some time with our loved ones. And then in January, we're going to regroup and just, you know, see what the year is going to look like for us. We definitely want more events or getting the community together in person.
Yes.
So I think we're going to regroup on that. And then we'll start recording again probably in January and release more episodes starting February. You know, just before Pluto goes into Aquarius.
Right before. I think that
right before. So that'll be a fun time and season. But yeah, before we end it, what's your Queerly noted?
My Queerly noted has nothing to do with this episode, but everything to do with this episode. I
love that.
One, do not give up your fight. If there's something that you 100% believe in, if it's a cause, maybe you're an activist. It could be a friendship that you're fighting for. It could be your health. It could be maybe you're fighting to have a better generation than the generation before. And what I mean is, like, maybe you're fighting to get your family to a certain level of education or to a certain level of luxury or whatever. Do not give up the fight. Cheryl Greiner did not give up the fight. Mm-hmm. But in all this, I think empathy becomes one of the most powerful tools you could ever have to navigate life. That's my Queerly noted for this season. Thank you. What's your Queerly noted, Jenny?
I think along the same lines, my Queerly noted would be to really focus on healing. I see a lot of unhealed trauma come through with people, whether that's online, whether that's in our communities, whether that's in ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone grieves, everyone goes through hardships, but not a lot of people are healing from it.
That's
and
true.
Carrying that into your life or into the next generation. So I know we started this podcast about our self-healing, and it just doesn't stop. It's not linear, like we've mentioned before. It's a continual process of just working on yourself so that we can be better in the world for each other and for ourselves, more importantly.
Jane, that's really deep. That is really, really deep healing. Yeah. It's what we all need.
We all need it. And I think we all see that we all need it.
Mic drop.
Well, we love you all. I love you, Mary.
Love you too, Jenny.
And we will see you in the new year. Enjoy and have a safe holiday season. And
happy 2023. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you want to support Queerly, follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you. So please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com. Or follow us on Instagram @queerlycommunity. That's Q-U-E-E-R-L-Y-Q-M-U-N-I-T-Y. Love y'all!